through the Lord Jesus Christ, we come unto thee, our Father and our God, and in the Holy Spirit. We pray thee today for all thy children who have gotten out of thy will and who need so greatly to get back. Teach them the simple way and bring them to the fold of thy blessing and strength. We ask it in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Christmas, I received a greeting from an old friend. There was a note with it which said in part, "It has been many years and many miles since I've seen you, and I guess I have traveled just as far from the ways of faith. That's why I'm writing you. How does one find the way back when there is no will to try?" My text is from the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15:18, "I will arise and go back." In the first place, the writer of this Christmas message is nearer home than she may think. The fact that she knows she has traveled far from the ways of faith is a sure sign that she remembers the ways of faith. And the restlessness of God which is upon her is bringing to mind the joyful past. Her letter began with the above sentences. The rest of the letter contained family news, but below the signature was a postscript. It has been said that a postscript is the most important part of a woman's letter. And this one read, "P.S. As I said at the beginning of this letter, I can't even get over the first hurdle of the will to try." Since many, many Christians are in the same predicament, I want to draw a road map so that Helen, as we shall call my correspondent, and all the other Helens and Georges or Marys and Jims of the world may know just where they are and come back to the place of joy and strength. The way of faith is Christ, and to depart from that way is to enter a field that has few paths. When one enters that field, he wanders in darkness, and when it should be morning, he discovers that he's in a heavy fog, a very heavy fog, and cannot find the road back. At that moment, his first question must be, "How did I get out of the way and into this field?" There was light on the path, for God has promised, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So three factors are involved when we are out of the will of God. First, we have turned our eyes away from Christ, who is the way. Secondly, we have turned our feet from the light, the Bible. And third, we depart of our own accord. The road back begins with a clear recognition of these factors. How is it possible, first of all, we must ask, how is it possible for one who has seen the Lord Jesus Christ, walked with him, and known the joy of his fellowship, to turn away from him to some other and lesser love? Yet this is something that every Christian has done. There is not one of us who has not, at some time or other, wandered away from Christ for a shorter or longer period. But how is it possible for us to do such a thing? The answer is what the Bible teaches about the nature of our flesh. We read in John 3:6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." And in Galatians 5:17, "The desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would." So, I acknowledge that there is a life within me that is my own life by birth and inheritance. This self-life wants its own way. It desires to fulfill its own lusts. It wants to be pampered. Just as those who put Christ to death cried out, "We will not have this man to reign over us." So each of us has the carnal mind that is enmity against God. We do not want God to reign over us. We can never deal with this by ourselves. It must be dealt with by God himself. He has dealt with our old nature by counting it as placed upon the cross of Christ and put to death there. But although the sentence has been passed, the criminal is still at large. The sentence has not yet been executed. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in actually yielding our old nature to him, for moment by moment crucifixion. Failure to do this always enables the old nature to lead the believer out of the way that is Christ, and away from the light that is the Word, to the field of wandering which lies beside the road. When he walks away from the fullness of life in Christ, the believer is not lost in the sense of being eternally damned. He has become what the Bible calls a carnal believer, and God allows him to go around in circles in the field of his wanderings until he comes to the end of himself and is willing to return to God so that the Father can once more deal with him. In fact, all the frustrations and longings, all the moments of despair, all the times of defeat, all the black dreams of emptiness are created by God and put in the path of the wanderer in order to sharpen his hunger for the joys that he knew in the beginning. The poet William Cowper has sung it, "Where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? What peaceful hours I once enjoyed, how sweet their memory still. But they have left an aching void the world can never fill." It was such an aching void that caused my friend Helen to write to me as she did. Now, how can she get over the first hurdle of the will to try? Well, there are two ways. She can continue to go around in circles, passing again and again and again by the same old landmarks of despair, crying, groaning, sighing, until it seems that every column in the vocabulary of life contains only the words cheerless, disconsolate, despondent, mirthless, miserable, woeful, wretched, sorrow, and distress. Or she can turn to the Lord and say, "Here I am. Do with me whatever you want to do." In other words, she can take the hurdle the slow way or the rapid way. But the Lord is going to bring her back, no matter how much she struggles against His will, for this is part of His faithfulness. And this is for you also. If you're out of the will of the Lord and you have once been in it, you may be sure that He will bring you back. Remember that He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will keep on perfecting it until the day of Jesus Christ." The path of the justified one is as a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. "Though we believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself." Yes, if we will not bend, we must be broken, for He is going to bring us back. Twice in this study I have spoken of going around in circles. This is a well-known phenomenon of the walk of a blind person or of a sighted person in fog or darkness. Orthopedists tell us that almost no human being has legs that are exactly equal in length. So that when a person walks without the guidance of sight, his whole line of progress is in a sweeping circle, and ultimately comes back to within a step of the point of departure. Every believer who is out of the will of the Lord is always at that point in his circling. Now, do not force my example to extravagant literalness. If you like, I shall change the figure of speech and show that the Lord's road is a great circle, and that when you step out of His path and away from the light He has given you, you walk in a circle that is always just one step away from His way. At any moment you can step back, if you will, that is, if you will come by the way that He has planned for your return. Now we have seen that the first three steps back to God's will are, 1, the admission that you have wandered from Christ the path, 2, that you have left the Bible the clear light, and 3, that you did it all of your own accord, by yourself. Let us emphasize this last point. If I'm ever out of the will of God, I got out by myself. Do not say, "Well, there were two of us, and we strayed into the path of lust." Or do not say, "There were three of us, and we strayed into the path of drunkenness." Or, "There was our whole social set, We all went out arm in arm. All these details may be true, but your part in it was from your own choice. You took your eyes from the Lord. You stopped reading the Word that would surely have convicted and warned you. You grieved the Holy Spirit until He took His silent place in the corner of your heart, where you curtained Him off, and He did not shout you down as you went your own way. Well, now we're ready for the fourth step. The Holy Spirit, whom you have grieved, is quite ready to speak, if you will speak to Him first. If you think that you do not have the will to try, begin by saying, Lord Jesus, I do not have the will to try. Break down the barriers. Let me hear Thy voice. Speak to me. Bend me to Thy will. At once the Holy Spirit will breathe in your heart, Yes, my child, I have so missed fellowship with you. You may not think it possible, but I have missed fellowship with you more than you have missed it with me. Now this thought should bring you most swiftly back to the Lord. He needs us as much as we need Him, for He is pure love, and love must have its object. He loves me. Let that be one of the cords that is strong in drawing me back to Him. Now we come to the fifth step. What will the Holy Spirit say to us after we have called upon the Lord and asked to hear Him speak to us? We cannot escape His first question simply because He is the Holy Spirit, and He must act in accordance with that holiness. He will gently ask, Where did you leave the path? Don't try to escape that question. Don't try to rationalize. Don't try to fix on some lesser thing that came about the same time. Don't try to call the thing itself by some lesser name. Do not try to get back into the will of God by way of fuzzy generalizations that leave the main issue unsettled. Always we get out of the will of God because we have chosen the path of self-will instead of remaining in the path of His will. No matter what were the details, mention those details to God. Do not be satisfied with general confession, be specific. The general confession is good to say in unison in public meetings, but when you're alone with God, it will not suffice to say, We have erred and strayed away from Thy ways like lost sheep. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. Oh, that's good for a start, yes, but then come down to cases. Lord, I began by flirting and I ended in adultery. Or, Lord, I began by borrowing that money until payday, and then I did it so often that I was over my head and I stole it. I'm a thief. Or, say, I didn't want to be left out of the conversation, so I invented lies and joined the gossip and was guilty of slander. Or, I was afraid to flunk the examination, so I resorted to cheating. Or, I wanted to keep up with the neighbors, so I went out of Thy will and got into debt. Or, I was demanding at home and nagged in order to get attention and satisfy my pride. Now, someone who has wandered in the field for years may sigh that he honestly cannot think of any such enormities. He does not recall having lied, cheated, stolen, been impure, or committed any other overt sin. Oh, I know more than one life which has lost years in the wanderings by running ahead of God to something that seemed lawful, legal, moral, or even Christian. More than one young woman has fallen in love with love, and when asked in marriage by an honorable man, did not stop to learn the will of God, and got herself into a marriage that was the unequal yoke with an unbeliever. It's possible to experience years of wandering by such a step out of the will of God. Oh, whatever it is, bring it out before God and name it by name. And if you cannot think of what it might be, ask the Lord to search your heart and put His finger on the thing which might be the cause of your spiritual dullness. He will answer. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to bring you closer to Christ. He loves you. He draws you. He woos you. He wants your good. He wants you in the path of peace. Now let me give a practical hint or two about this first hurdle of the will to try. Begin as soon as you have a moment to sing some song of praise to God. I know a woman who was in terrible despondency, and her husband was trying to help her back into the joy of the Lord. It was in the morning, and the day seemed dark before her. He said, "We're going to sing. Let's sing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." On the first verse, the wife managed to get in one note out of four or five. The second and third verses were about the same. He said, "Well, that wasn't quite tuned, so we shall try to sing it again. Come on now, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." And the three verses were sung a second time. "No," he said, "that wasn't up to what we can do. Let's really ask him to tune our hearts. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace." The wife began to laugh and sang almost all the notes of the first verse, and by the time they got to the third verse, the third time around, she was smiling and really singing, and she was out of her despondency. Oh, there's nothing better calculated to bring a discordant heart back into tune with the Lord than the repeated singing of a psalm or hymn of praise to Him. And if 3 times are not enough, try it 300 times. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. In addition to the psalms, there is the very important return to Bible reading for spiritual food. The heart that has missed spiritual food for days or even years needs a strong rebuilding by spiritual diet in the Word of God. There is no strong Christian life apart from the Word of God. Spiritual development and growth apart from Bible reading are as impossible as physical development and growth are without a well-rounded diet. One more element in this spiritual return is of great importance. There must be a firm reliance of faith and willingness to speak out in testimony to those who are round about us. We are told of the believers in the Great Tribulation who will face some of the greatest perils that any believers have ever faced, confronting Satan himself, but we read they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In other words, we turn to the cross, to the place where Satan was vanquished, where sin was paid for, where we were redeemed, where we are maintained in grace, furnished with renewed power. And there we find the home of our peace and can best view the past from which we were saved, the present where He meets us, and the future into which we shall be molded together. Here at the cross we stand and know the experience. Submit yourself, therefore, to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And from this vantage point, we can give the word of our testimony, which is the other edge of the overcoming sword. If you make even one little step back toward God, tell somebody. Say, "I was so despondent, I didn't even have the will to try, but now I know that God is going to take me over the hurdle. And he is going to bring me back to him." And then every step of progress you make, testify to it. Here is the land of high joy. The son that was astray is back home again. The father interrupted the boy's confession in the parable of the prodigal son, interrupted it with a kiss, for he saw his need and his heart. And let this glad scene give you the will to try. The barrier that must be broken down is the barrier in your heart. Maybe some other love that you trusted has failed you. But the Father's love will not fail you. Let that thought light your fires. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And then say it to Him. "Lord, you love me. You love me. You love me." And then say, "Lord, give me the will to try. Give me the will to lift my eyes to look into yours. Give me the will to listen to the Holy Spirit. For," and you may have to say it tremblingly, but say it, "for I do love you too, Lord." And suddenly you'll find that the road back wasn't a long road at all. In the night, you had come full circle. And there he's waiting for you with his light, at the very point where you had stepped from the path. And his arms are open to you, and his love is ready to fold you and hold you to himself. Oh, it's more than worth the try. "Come unto me," he said, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And our God and Father, we pray thee for all who are out in the desert of wandering, and we ask thee that they may realize that thy path is just beside them, and that thou dost call them to lift the eye from self and to turn it to Christ and to come back to thee. You love us, Lord. Yes, you do. And we love thee. And we give thee the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.